Kia ora rawa whānau, we are back here with another episode. In fact, I can't really say another episode. I'm going to say our first episode for 2023. And this, brother, was actually going to be my first episode for 2022 as well. But obviously, a whole bunch of things have happened, which I've already spoken to you fellas about. But thankfully, I've been able to get the road back again to have another corridor. I was just saying off camera, off air, however you want to word it. I'm not too sure whether we should pretend as if the last corridor didn't happen. But I think it's probably best, you know, we just be ourselves and we roll into it. So, bro, as always, I don't like to kind of put my guests in a box by introducing them. I like to get them to introduce themselves. Nō reira, bro. Ko ai koe, nō hea koe, brother.
Ko Rob Mōkaraka, tōku ingoa. Huri tēnei nō Ngāpuhi Moana Riki, nō Mātaraua, and then ki te taha tōku māma, ko ngai tūhoi, Ngāti Ruapani, Ngāti Kahungunu ki Wairoa, Ōku Iwi, nō Waikare Moana. So yeah, brother, best of both worlds.
Ka pai, bro. And I guess, man, I didn't even know what to, and I'm glad we don't do the whole kind of intro thing too hearty in here, because I'm not even sure how to like explain what it is exactly you do, and I'm sure you probably have a tough time as well.
Oh, brother, I really don't have a tough time. I know exactly what I am doing. You know, I could say in the Western world, I'm a mental health and suicide prevention advocate, or if you want to put it in another term, I'm a taniwha hunter. I hunt trauma. And give it some aroha and some light so people can feel lighter and more noa than they were before, swirling in that storm of suicidal ideation or mamai through intergenerational trauma. But bro, yeah, whatever. Some people go, that's a nice performance you did. And then other people go, bro, thanks for telling others what's inside of us. And I go, wow. So it's whatever makes you feel safe. I reckon it's wherever you are at personally. And anyway, bro, I have multiple things.
Yeah, for sure. I'd definitely be one of those, that type of mahi that has multiple names. And speaking of the show, bro, which we'll eventually obviously get to, that was kind of how we connected. You came to Taranaki, I think it was over a year ago now, and you did a one-man show here in Taranaki around the shop, bro, Kaupapa. How did this Kaupapa come to be? You can go right back and talk about your own journey if you'd like to and kind of how that morphed into what it was. Feel free to go as far back as you'd like, man.
Ka pai. Well, in the beginning, there was Rangi and Papa, and they were together in Te Pōnui, and then before that, no, killed it. I'm not going to go that far. But I'll go back to 2009, bro. Go back. 2009, that was what they would call in script writing the inciting incident. So I had a massive mental and spiritual breakdown in 2009. I was an actor writer by trade, touring internationally, theatre, kaupapa, but all this unresolved trauma came up due to a very unhealthy relationship, and I exploded in 2009, July 27th, and I provoked the police to shoot me dead in a storm of suicidal ideation. Didn't want to be alive, and I thought I deserved a violent death. I pulled the cops on myself and looked like I had a firearm, which I was actually armed with a soup ladle wrapped in a tea towel, which looked like a firearm, and I had a meat cleaver. I was dressed in military regalia from a theatre show I was touring internationally. And yeah, let's just say I scared the police so much on that day, they shot me close range in the chest. And it took me a long time to recover mentally, spiritually, physically. And now I'm paying it forward by helping whānau, communities, organisations address the storm of trauma and grief in a way that is funny, dark, real, and educational.
Bro, that is an awesome summary. As I said, I found, you know, when people ask me about your show and kind of what you see, what you feel, and what you learn, I struggled to kind of put it into any sort of, I guess, understandable context, because it's just so vast and it's so massive with everything that you do and everything that you cover, and kind of putting it into something digestible for people to understand in that one go is really, really hard. So I really appreciate you, brother, for being able to do that. Obviously, you've had a bit of practice because you've had a lot of people ask you over time. So when you've mentioned the incident and kind of, I guess, the unhealthy relationship that led up to that, what are some of the reflections that you've been able to have now that that's gone, and obviously it's a past event, and you can kind of stand back and zoom out and look at it, what were some of the things, I guess some of the red flags, let's call them, that led up to the incident, some things that I guess you talk to people about now to be aware of when they're going through their own ups and downs?
That's a good point, Brian. You don't realize that your behavior isn't in the realm of normalcy, not that there's any real normality really in everyone's life, but it was, what you think is normal is not normal for someone else. And I suppose it's my behaviors, but if I really look back, also using a lot of alcohol, because some of our whānau enjoyed a lot of alcohol use, Kathy. Especially around family whānau gatherings. So I suppose I was drinking a lot because that was normal. Work hard, drink hard. And I suppose that was normal, but you wasn't really investigating as to, just because my whānau drink, I'm drinking. What was I? Why was I drinking? It's not just because of your whānau environment or your social environment. There's reasons. There's reasons that you're not really asking yourself, nor do you have the tools to ask yourself. And also, when you're in a dark place or in a self-destructive place, you want to hang out with others like yourself.
Yeah.
And you attract similar things happening inside yourself. So, you know, I had some really good mates, some genuine mates. I was a real good, people go, oh, actors are good at hiding. I was like, on my journey of mental health to Australasia, everybody's good at hiding. Mm. Everyone's an Academy Award winner. and because we're trained to make sure we don't show anybody our weak side, our crunchy parts that we hate. And we think that, man, if people get to know the real me, they'll never ever talk to me. They'll tell me I'm a piece of crap, a piece of this, piece of... Anyway, the internal negative dialogue that you've built up for yourself that you're not sharing with anybody is quite a controlling force. But it's not just cerebral, it is also spiritual. Always going through a Māori lens, you know, if it's not just your hinengaro, it's your wairua, and those things need to be addressed. And how far back does it go? That's the scariest questions, brother, that I come in. I'm meeting some very tough brothers and sisters out there. You start talking about that, and then you get the iron look of the face of, that's enough.
Yeah, because you're starting to touch on those crunchy parts that you mentioned, right? And when people feel someone kind of get into that, it makes them get their back up.
Oh, totally. It makes them get defensive. You can't help it. Sometimes let a few swear words out. Like, you know, who are you to ask? I was like, oh, I wasn't asking. I was just saying, shall we address? Nope. Okay, get the point.
So you mentioned, bro, that like we're sort of trained to hide, I guess, our raw emotions or how we're really feeling. In what ways are we trained? Like, how does that happen to us?
Well, first of all, if you talk about going right back, let's look at our tūpuna pre-colonization. What tools were we using? Our tools from our tūpuna, from our atua, all our atua. We were in tune with the environment. And I suppose we weren't perfect, as one of the rangatira from up in Te Tai Tukero said, it wasn't all pork bone and roses for Māori. You know, everything was life and death. That's why there was tikanga framework, which could save your life.
Yeah.
But you get the impacts of colonization. I'm talking about our whānau and our people. You suppress all this knowledge, all this mātauranga within that are the tools to your life, into your life force, into your uri. Brother, it becomes confusing. And as a Māori born into two worlds, it's very confusing. Very confusing. And if I use some paraphrasing, Pāhinare Teit, my nanny's, I'll just drop a name there. My nanny's first cousin from Pangaru. Anyway, but Pāhinare Teit was talking about the confusion between tikanga pre-colonization and post-colonization. And if we start unraveling all of that, then we'll see how those started to blend and get murky. And that was part of our well-being. This is just my whakaaro and just pinching some people's kōrero from different theses or PhDs that they've done.
And you mentioned as well, like you said, we didn't have the tools, or sometimes we don't have the tools to ask ourselves questions or to self-reflect. What are some of those tools, bro, that you can share with us that people could maybe be aware of or put in place to pick up on certain things?
Well, it's funny, you observe some whānau members that piss you off.
Don't know what you're talking about. No.
There you go. And I'm sure I pissed my whānau off too. Mm. But if I, you know, for somebody who's done a lot of work on myself, whānau, I get triggered quicker by anyone else in the world by my whānau. And I have to question myself, why am I so easily triggered by my whānau? A funny, simplistic way was when I had one of my wānanga, which is after every one of my kaupapa, in Putararu, somebody said, whānau know how to flick the switch because they installed it. And I laughed because I thought that resonates with me.
That's funny. A great analogy. That's a great analogy.
But I think that we're all in a pattern, a way of being. Say our koro, our nanny, and I love them all, and uncles and aunties. And they were using the tools in Te Ao Pākehā that they had. Was it holistic and healing? Was it destructive? It was a little bit of both. And I suppose it's understanding that you're a reflection of your whānau, of your uncle you hate, in the sense that, the auntie who pisses you off every time she bloody does it. We're a reflection of each other. And basically what I figured out over time is that whatever's triggering you is stuff that you need to work on, because there's also something that happened to you. It's like finding the whakapapa. There's the surface of it. It's like being brave enough to go into the whakapapa, keep dig down. And yeah, it's scary. We're not all trained for that. We don't have the tools for that. But when people have almost killed themselves, lost loved ones to suicide, that's when some people go, well, I'm going to get brave because I've got no answers. And I'm scared it might happen to another whanaunga. It might even happen to me. So fear can drive us into the light, bro, or drive us into te pō. So it's all about figuring out what you are able to do. And if you don't know any of this kōrero, it's a foreign concept. It's just placing this kōrero in such a way that it sits for people that when they're ready, they go, oh, that's what the crazy fellow was talking about.
But yeah, I mean, you're right, bro. Like, I feel like there is, like, some people, and this isn't like a whakahihi or whakamā thing. I'm not saying this to kind of shame or out anyone, but I've just recognised in my time here on in Te Ao Marama, in my time here on Earth, that there seems to be people that can, I'm trying to think how to word this properly, like, when, say, for example, when something offends me, right, and I can either go, like, this person offends me, or what they say has offended me, or why is this offending me? And kind of sit with that whakaaro instead. How do you think you get from point A to point B? Because there seems to be quite a distance between those two points of people being able to go, this fella's triggering me. Rob's triggering me with his show because he's brought up all these sorts of things. And then the other side is, this is triggering me. Why is this triggering me? And then diving into that mahi. What do you think, I don't know, is the distance or what makes one harder than the other?
I think
obviously, bearing in mind you're not a professional of any sorts, bro, but from your experience.
No, but I am QBE, bro. I'm QBE, qualified by experience. And,
choice.
And, bro, I'm investigating this all the time because I'm holding multiple wānanga with different cultures, not just Māori, many different cultures. And there's common threads, bro. So there's baggage from the culture, there's baggage from the whānau, and you're wearing all of that. And also, there's also intergenerational wisdom under all of that, but it gets convoluted. And I suppose, if I look at my koro, who's long past, they utilised Te Ao Pākehā for their kids so they could integrate quicker because it was a new weird alien technology that was taking over very quickly.
Yeah,
so hence
sure.
They say, don't kōrero Māori, kōrero Te Ao Pākehā, learn what these fellas are doing, because I don't know what this is, but it feels overwhelmingly huge colonization.
Yeah.
Those weren't, they weren't using the word colonization, but they felt the power from this new force of colonization that, man, when you're, think about it, where you have your kaumātua, your kuia, telling you to stop speaking your native language because they feel there's another force, the big that's coming through, that's making them concerned for you. So integrate. So I'm interested in all of that, bro. Within that is like we look, bro, there's a lot of our whānau, like kōrero Māori, haka, waiata, da, da, da. But I know that they're not actually utilizing rongoā Māori. They're not utilizing those tools. We can kōrero this karakia, that, and then I sit down and go, why aren't you utilizing Te Ao Wairua to look at your whānau's mental and spiritual health? Instead of just calling him or her crazy uncle drunk uncle, drunk blah, 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 crazy, scatterbrain auntie, something happened to them. What happened in your whānau, whakapapa, that made them like this? No one's talking about that. So we're very easily dismissive of other whānau. Like, he's an effing idiot, she's an effing B, because it's easier, and that's what we know. We can dismiss it. Next. I feel better now that I dismissed them and labeled them. It's like, man, how would I say this to people helping other people grow? Be the hero your younger self needed when you're assisting whānau. And you didn't need someone telling you you're a big F and P, you know, and you need to harden the F up. That's never in the history of Rongoā has ever helped anyone, really.
Yeah.
So it's turning all of your own personal frustrations to look at your own shit to understand why that whānau member is doing this. You don't have to like it. You don't have to like them. But the more you have a comprehension of yourself, you go, oh, that's why he's a dick. He's actually hurting from way back then, and he hasn't dealt with it because none of our whānau can deal with it. So uncle's going to be like that for until uncle passes away, because his peers, his age group, my parents and uncles and aunties, they don't have the tools.
Yeah. And that's one of the big things with, like, within whānau, right, bro? Like, I feel like, anyway, in my own experience and from kōrero with friends and family and stuff like that, and once again, like you said, not just Māori, but from different cultures, that a lot of, let's call it family trauma, intergenerational trauma that's coming through, it's hard, it's scary, it's intimidating, it's all those words to, like, just have the conversation, right? But having that conversation can make so much change.
Yeah, and it's scary, bro. I'm going to share this. Mm-hmm. So I had a very cool moment. Was it 5-6 years ago? I started Shop Bro. I was at my nanny's house when she was alive and thriving. And my nan, my two aunties, and my uncle was there. And one of the aunties just went, good on you, boy, for doing your kaupapa about your mental health, your stuff. And I was like, tai ho, auntie. Before we get into this, I was actually triggered by someone pointing at me as if I was the only crazy one here. But really, I know that the whole whānau are bloody porangi. Anyway, I just said, tai hoa, before we continue this kōrero, can we please admit we're from the same Porangi River? The same crazy river. I felt very brave, bro. I've never ever done this before in my life.
But that's hard and with kaumātua and stuff as well.
Yeah, your uncles, your aunties, your uncle, your kuia, and the room went silent. And nobody said anything, but they just went like this, bro. They just nodded.
Hmm.
And to me, that was a massive acknowledgement. Huh. And from there, it's like I'm facilitating a whānau intervention with my elders. And from there, I said, okay, kapoi, now let's talk about our mental health. How are we going to address our mental health instead of you just single somebody out? It's easy to. The nephew and your thing. I was like, no. Let's be honest, let's look at what happened in our whānau. In our whānau, violence around alcohol, sexual molestation, multiple generations. No one was talking about that, brother. So sometimes the child has to be the adult for the parent. And basically, I was doing that for my uncles and aunties. And it was a safe place, and they'd never probably had that kōrero before in their life.
How long did it take, like, obviously you doing the mahi and kind of, I guess, I don't know whether, I don't know whether the show was like kind of the first, your first foray into the mental health, let's call it scene, apologies, I know that's not the word, but was that your first time dipping the pool in that arena, bro, or had you done other mahi in regards to mental health before that?
I suppose that the when you join the arts, you're already in the mental health, bro. Already, hey bro, we know we enjoy entertainment and arts, we enjoy that because of our mental health. So I look at that, I jokingly say that to some of my colleagues back in the arts and entertainment. Bro, I used to be mental health with you fellas back in the day. Now I just look in the other the other side of that arena. So I was writing, I was in trauma, Wairua, Tinana, Ahiningaro, and hospital and after hospital from multiple surgeries trying to cut out this bullet stuck behind my lung. So I'm writing all the time, trying to get this mamai out in between. In between being in pain every minute of the day, meaning I can't hide anymore. We're good at hiding and compartmentalizing, but you can't when your body is screaming on fire. because it's cut open in multiple parts. So you can't hide anymore. You can't pretend that everything's sweet. Your whānau can't pretend everything's sweet and tell you to shut up and get in the bloody room and so no one can see your messy behavior. Everybody can see it now. No one can hide. So it's an extreme case, bro, and I don't wish that on anybody. So from there, I started writing this, and it was a mate of mine, who was actually a whanaunga of mine, who took his life. And then a week and a half before him, a colleague in the entertainment industry, she took her life. And that sort of pushed me, bro, from workshopping slowly over 7 years to hurry up and get Shopper up to speed. Because standing around a grave, and I've said this on a few interviews, standing around the grave of my bro up in Kaitaia, and his ex-wife and his three sons, you know, he's took his life. And she said, can you do something, Rob? Can you do something? You know this world. And as strange and silly and stupid as it sounded, I had good intentions. I just said, well, I'm making a play. And I didn't realize how big it was going to go, how deep it is, and how many different cultures resonate, and how much I'm still learning and unpacking. So, you know, I'm happy to walk the talk with anybody and collaborate with any psychologist, psychiatrist, because they need the help too.
Yeah. But that's huge. Like, and as you say, like, even as you said the words just then, it's just a play. Obviously, that's an old thought that you, you know, obviously you're telling the story. But then I can't, after having experienced and seen it, I can't, like, it's just a play. Those words, like, do not even associate to the mahi you do at all. Like, I can't, yeah, it's hard to put them in the same box. And that's why it's hard for me when I said before, when people ask, what is it? What does he do? I'm just like, man, you got to go see for yourself. I don't know how else to put it. You've just got to go and check it out for yourself. Like, it'll move you pretty hard. Because I remember being in the room, bro, and I know this happens to you at multiple places. And I know you've had some pretty, I'll say crack up, for lack of a better term, interactions with whānau. That have come to your shows, like your own family that have come to your shows, strangers, wow. And then some of the experiences you've had in the jails as well, because you've stopped and done this presentation in our jail systems. But I remember, like, at the end and stuff, you know, when people were getting up and sharing what related to them within the story and things like that, and people that were at the Taranaki show that I'd known for most of my life, I seen them there, I was like, oh, Choice, you come, and we're sitting there, and they're getting up and sharing things that, I mean, I wouldn't expect to know about them, because even though I've known them all my life, we're not super close, but just the stories that I would not have associated to these people that they had going on in their time is pretty, pretty crazy. And the fact that you can bring that out of quote unquote strangers for you in that short period of time of one show, bro, is pretty phenomenal. So how about we touch on a couple of those, bro? I know you've got a couple of stories with some whānau. You can tell us some of the stories or experiences you've had within the prison system as well.
Yeah, bro, they're always, like you said, they're always humbling. And they're also enlightening, because people don't even realize they're going to share. But that's because there's a tikanga framework around the... So somebody said to me, a colleague of mine, sorry, old friend, she said, oh, I see what you've done here, Rob. You've synthesized therapy, theater, and te ao Māori all in one package. And I went, have I?
No, that's when you go, yeah.
Oh, pretty much. I was like, is that what it's talking? Okay. So people got their different interpretations of it. But what you can't shake is it shook them up to have a wake up and look at themselves and look at what's happening or happened to get the help they deserve. It shakes you up. How do I know it shakes them up? Because people tell me it shakes them up. I've had some close friends throughout the motu. I'd say I'll use three different places around the motu. They wanted to leave in the first 10 minutes. Because it's so close to the heart, it's so close to home, and I'm glad they stayed. I'm really glad. That's why I put so much humour into my kaupapa. As my whanaunga Pio today said, you're doing that style that Māori do at a tangi, that when the padre's doing a whai kōrero for the tūpāpaku, he's making us laugh and cry. And I went, pretty much, I'm using that methodology strategically in Shopro. So when I say funny, dark, funny, I mean light. Dark light. And it's strategically built with the suicide to help suicidal Rob in 2009. So when you place all of this wairua, all this technique, all this aroha into something that you 100% believe in, and believe me, when you go into prison, you better believe it, because they'll bloody can snap you in two. There's nobody holding them back. They get to you faster than the guard. So you better believe in what you're doing. And you better, and also, you better know that it works.
How was that, bro? Like, I'm not too sure if you remember your first time going to the prison system, because I'm sure you've been heaps. But how was that, like, getting in there for the first time? Were you pretty freaked out, do you think? Did you have a lot of sort of assumptions about it all? Or were you pretty open-minded from the get-go?
2017, that's, and I use this, some of these experiences, as you've seen before, some of these experiences that happened to me, I add them into the shop for a kaupapa. So as I'm learning, growing, I'll add some of those tools in there. So the first time, 2017, which I put in Shoprite, Rimutaka, Violent Offenders Therapy Units, I get invited by the psychologist, Māori, Wahine Māori. I present, but I wake up at 3 a.m. with a mini panic attack on the morning. This is 3 weeks after I said yes. I wake up with a mini panic attack going, what if those brothers think I'm all shit? What if they think this whole kaupapa is all shit? And then another fear was, what if they think that I'm one of the prisoners and I don't get to go home? And they locked me up. And I had this scenario that I finished the shop for a kaupapa, and then I'm about to leave, and then the prison guard goes, hey, mate, get back in your cell. And I go, no, I'm the actor who was doing the kaupapa. Yeah, you're all a bunch of actors, now get in there. I actually had a dream about that, so I was panicking. But when I got there, bro, and I used this in shop, bro, to be welcomed in with a mihi whakatau into Unit 9, a.k.a. Te Whare Manaakitanga Unit in Rimutaka, was the most humbling experience. I was shitting myself. But what I realized was, even though I look at my trauma as only like a little fraction of what they've been through, it doesn't matter how big or small, the same, there's a similar vibration that people gravitate towards, brother, and they gravitate to Te Pō. They gravitate to Pono. Are you about talking about this dark grief? And as soon as they start to see you being Pono, they start to listen a little bit more and then open up a little bit more. And so it's very humbling, bro. It's actually, I still get nervous because going to different units and different prisons is like going to a different ocean. Don't assume that you know the tide and currents. Don't assume. Don't ever assume. So whoever comes in with me, my kaitiaki, my sound technician, we're just 360 degrees thinking about way to a safety, physical safety, so we can go into Te Pō with them and bring them out into Te Ao Marama.
Amazing, bro. And so I remember you have told me that story before about your trip to the prison. I didn't realize that was a real story.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're all real, bro. That's all happened. It all happened. That's
as soon
real.
As you started talking in my head, I just said, ah.
Yeah, that guy, the big bro in the first row when I gave out the invisible heart, and that, he's the guy. And I actually, during that little moment, I thought I've made another terrible mistake coming in here. What am I going to do?
If you want to know what we're talking about, Fana, you're going to have to check out Rob's show, because I don't want to ruin it too much by getting into kind of blatantly share that story. But man, like I said, I didn't think that was a real story. So that's pretty insightful to hear how that went down. That would have been freakier than what I thought.
And I've been back to that unit two more times since over the years. I've been grateful. It took a couple of years for them, a few years to invite me back. But the staff, remember the first time I was there. The brothers have changed, but two of the bros were like the top dog. One's one of the top dogs in that unit. Big fan of Shop Bro. He totally gets it. And I'll share this. The first time I met him in my second Shop Bro show, the first time I met him, because he was also their kaikōrero in the whakatau. So I asked if we could have a whakatau, as I always do when I go into prisons, to be welcomed in. And then he comes and asks me, he said, I'd never met him before. He's the top dog of the universe. He goes, you want a whakatau? And I said, yes, brother. And he goes, but you've already been here. And I said, I know, my bro. But my kaitiaki over there, this is his first time here. And he looked over and he goes, all right. And then he looks at these two chairs that you see, which is the only things I have, and a plastic helmet and a bloody tea towel. And he's looking at that. He looks at me and he goes, do you play all the characters, bro? And I said, yeah, I do, bro. And he goes, so do I, bro. Up here, bro. I was like, kia ora, brother. And he became one of my biggest fans after shock, bro. Because in prisons, it's a little bit different. The tikanga, changes, because in communities we'd go kaupapa, wānanga, kai, go home. But in prisons it's kaupapa, kai, as we're having a kai, instead of wānanga, in that way, to get the boys, or the boys, the giant boys to kōrero, I'd say, we do three highlights. Three things you got out of today, brothers. One thing that you'll take home in your ngākau, in your heart. And I always start, so I lead the way. And then the brothers go around the table as they're having a kai. They might stand, they might sit, and they go, well, I got, this is what I got out of today, that maybe I shouldn't be so hard on my bros who aren't being a dick. I realize I'm just being hard on them. And just meet massive revelations, bro. These are some tough brothers.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't necessarily have to give all three. I've had some real big giants stand up and just go, aroha, I got that we all deserve. Aroha. And then sit down. And I'm like, yo, I'm not going to be pushing for three more questions. Koina. Next. But just to have that safe moment, and the brothers even tell me, that sort of level of vulnerability that I show, that will get them stabbed up or killed in prison.
Mm.
So that place is very tapu. So whatever they share, that stays in that unit.
Mean, bro. Well, bro, I'm going to take a quick break for us real quick here, but we're going to come back and I want to talk to you about, we've talked about the prison stuff. I want to talk to you about like the whānau stuff, because you've told me before about how whānau come out and see you, and it's led to some altercations with some kazis at times. And I think we all sort of, I don't know, I think we all need to kind of get comfortable with being the people who can make the change within our whānau, you know, if not you, then who? And if not now, then when, sort of whakaaro. So yeah, no, I want to talk to that, bro, after our little break here.